So it's just the two of you. Nice to be able to get back into Chabura this week. I want to talk a little bit about Minhag and how it plays into our Gemara over here. Obviously, that's the main topic of our Gemara, but to see some details about Minhag, its strength, and as you'll see, you know, we'll address a couple of issues that will come up, both non-lahalacha and lahalacha. So the Mishnah says, someone hired workers and told them to come early, to stay late. Makom shenagu shelo lahashkem shelo lahariv eino rashai lakofan. If it's in a place where they have the minhag not to be mashkim and not to be ma'ariv, meaning that nobody comes early to work before a certain time, nobody stays late and does overtime, the employer cannot force the employees to stay late or come early, as Rashi notes. In a halakofan bigemara parachshita, the Gemara is going to say, obviously you can't force them. I mean, why would you be allowed to force them to do that? And the Gemara is going to give a case. The Gemara is going to give an answer, which we'll see right now. The rest of the cases of the Mishnah are also about minhag, and we may make reference back to them a little bit. I'm going to leave that mainly for a different discussion, though. The Gemara, then the Mishnah goes on to tell us about the rules for providing food to workers, and that they're also minhag medina, as well as a couple of stories. The Gemara really addresses these later on, after the giant bunch of agadata that we have, that you've started on already. So we'll leave this part of the Mishnah for now, but we may make reference back to it. Says the Gemara, the pshita, obviously you can't force them to just stay late and come early. What this pshita actually means, by the way, is a good question. I mean, does it mean that you can't hit them? And then you might say pshita. You might also say, and the way the Gemara seems to be understanding it is that pshita, what right do you have to keep them? That's really what the Gemara's pshita seems to be. Meaning,
pshita, of course you can be kofa them to come early or stay late.
Correct, but not because you can't kofa in general, but the pshita emphasis is that because why would you assume that you could? There's no real indication that you should be able to. So says the Gemara, lo, tzricha. We need this case. Why? The tafalahu ahagrayu. As Rashi notes, it means you added money. Meaning normally, let's say the minhag of Poland in the city was to get $4 a day, and you're giving this person $5 or $6 a day. So the balabayas is coming forth with a taina and saying, listen, the fact that I gave you $5 or $6 per day, and again, dollars per day isn't necessarily the best example, but again, in those days, we were dealing with the daily wage, and therefore the tafalhu agrahu means that you're adding on something to that daily wage, and the balabais is claiming that that's because he wanted the poel to be mashkim and mariv, and as we're going to say, mahu detema amar lehu haditafai la lehu agrahu adaita demikad mesu mechashkisu bahadai. The balabais may have come forward with that claim. Kamash malan, comes the Mishnah to tell you, Eino Rasha Lakofan, the Amrule, that they may tell him, Haide tafaslan, that which you added to our wages, Adaita de Avdina Machabid Tashapirta. It's because you wanted us to do a better job, which we saw earlier in a parallel sugya, at the beginning of Hazochar Zaumnin, actually. And we're going to talk about later in the Chabura how those two sugyas relate to each other. The fact is, the workers are claiming in return that you're telling us that you added on to our wages because you wanted us to stay early, to come early and leave late. Not true. Maybe it was because you wanted us to do a good job, and therefore that's why you added on to our wages. And again, we're going to get more into this. That's one part of the Gemara. I'm going to continue reading the Gemara again quickly just as an introduction, and then we're going to get into the main tochen. Says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Poh b'chnisasa michelo b'tiyasa michel balabayish, Nemar tizrach Hashem ha-shiyaseifun ve'almen onosam yirbatum, yeste adam lefalo v'lavodasau ade'arev. The Gemara, whatever these words, b'chnisasa michelo b'tiyasa michel balabayish, there's at least four different interpretations, because no one knows what the word b'chnisasa means, no one knows what the word yitiyasa means, no one knows what michelo means, and no one knows what michel balabayish means. And again, that's a topic for another Chabura, but you can see if even just between Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim that are quoted within, including Rabbeinu Hananel, and you can see, you know, it's a big mess. I'm not here to, again, define the terms, but simply that there is some sort of daily schedule that Poalim are expected to be on, which Reish Lakish derives from the Pasuk, Tizrach Hashem HaShiyaseifun, etc. And therefore, he says, these are the hours, again, whatever these hours are, that a poel needs to work. Asks the Gemara, whatever happened to Minhag? Our Mishnah told us, HaKol, everything goes after the minhag. So why don't we just see what the minhag of this place is? Why are we saying that they have to follow these rules? Says the Gemara, Bi'ir Chadasha. We're talking about where it's a new city. There is no set minhag yet. There are no rules. Okay, says the Gemara, fine. The Nefsi Mihefaka Asu. So check where they came from, and maybe we can establish a minhag based on where they came. I was actually thinking of this Gemara this week in terms of when will a new minion have the status of an old minion in terms of making up Kriyas HaTorah. In theory, the question of making up Kriyas HaTorah that you missed should apply only to a shul that was reading beforehand and not an entirely new minion. So the question is, what constitutes an entirely new minion that would have to make up Kriyas HaTorah? I was wondering if you could make certain comparisons here, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Says the Gemara, you know why you can't find out where they came? Binikutai. There is no clear majority as to where they came from. They come from all over the place. There's a whole bunch of different minhagim. And therefore, there's really no minhag. So Reish Lakish is saying, in a case where there is no minhag, follow this setup. Again, whatever that setup is. Says the Gemara, there's another option that we buy. Same, if you want, you could say, Da'amar lehu de'agrisu li kepoel de'oraisa. That he says another possibility would be if the person came to the employer and says, I wish to follow the rules of poel de'oraisa. These are the wages, and the hours that we would assign the worker for their daily wage. All clear so far? This is just, again, basic running through the Gemara. We are going to make reference back to, again, the first part of the Mishnah that we read and these two Gemaras at the beginning. So there are two general approaches to what the power of Minhag is in regards to Skiras Polim. And for that, I'm going to now start sharing my screen. We're going to begin with, and I'm going to just minimize your faces, I apologize. We're going to begin with the Daf Al Adaf, which is an Achronish Sefer, gather stuff. The way that he put it together, I think, is the way that many Achronim discuss it. And we'll read through some of it very briefly, or even though we don't even need to read through this. We'll get back to it at different points. He brings us two basic approaches to Minhag. One approach, the first approach, and as you can see, again, with Poskim is Parashnei Ta'amim. So approach number one is that Minhag serves what I'm going to call to fill in the blanks of any agreement. Most of the time when we're negotiating agreements, we can't possibly cover every single detail. Not only can we not possibly cover it, there are many times where even if we could, we don't, and we just leave certain things unsaid. Minhag's rule is to say anything that we leave unsaid, anything that, you know, we don't clarify or we don't explicate when we hire workers, is just something Minhag comes in and says, you know what, here are the details of those unagreed agreements. The agreement is dictated by Minhag wherever you don't otherwise say so. And again, the Rashba says this, you can see in a line that I'm going to highlight, the Me'achar she'pashad inyan kein b'neim, kol ha'oseh, stam al derech ha'minhag ha'pashut hu oseh, v'afal pishu lo kasev lo hisne ha'rehu kemasne v'kosev. Okay, now, that approach would be to say that, again, it's just wherever we don't have any other place to go, we don't know what they would have agreed on. We just say, follow what other people do. Why? Because when they're hiring each other, when the employer is hiring the employee, he knows what goes on normally with workers. The worker knows what goes on between employees and workers also in that place. And therefore, that's what they assume to happen. If this is the case, Minhag is fairly weak. Minhag serves, again, to help us decide conflicts between an employer and employee that may arise in cases that they didn't discuss it. And that's really one approach. The second approach, and you know, he brings us here from the Chazon Ish and others, that Minhag is actually much more than that. Minhag is actually a factor in any sort of agreement between workers and their employers. And it actually has the ability to in some way override other rules. What that might mean is, for example, he explains it here, due to a takanas chachamim with hefker best and hefker, chachamim set up that in order perhaps to protect workers, whatever the svaros may be, and we can discuss that a little bit more if you want, whatever the svaros may be, the chachamim set up some sort of system in which halachos of poalim follow the minhag. You can say what you like, you can think what you like, whether it's because we want to protect them from slavery, whether it's because we want the footing to be equal to other workers, whatever the reason is, the Chachamim set up a rule that when it comes to Schiras Polim, we follow the Minhag, period. There are all sorts of other conflicting monetary concerns that may arise. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Chazal say, when it comes to Sefer Polem, we go off to the Minag, period, even when there is a conflict. It's not just that we're, again, filling in blanks with Minag, but really it's something way, way above and beyond. And Minag actually has power in and of itself due to the power that Chachamim invested in it. And he says there are going to be many nafkaminos, and we'll get to those in due time. But I think that what we can suggest is this is not just a machlokas achroni achronim, but this is actually, first of all, a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, which I think many people will have thought of seeing some of the language of the Yerushalmi. But also I think it's a machlokas between the Rif and the Rambam and many of the other Rishonim like Tosfos and possibly even the Rosh. So let's get to that. If we look back at our Mishnah that we dealt with, and again, you guys should have your Gemaras in front of you. If not, the Mishnah opens with the following line. If one hires workers, and he told them to be mashkim and ma'ariv. What does v'amar lahem mean? When is this conversation taking place? What would you say in Pashtus? When would you say this conversation took place if the Gemara says v'amar lahem?
At the time of the agreement.
So Natana would say at the time of the agreement. Anybody disagree? Richard Chiner is muted.
Tosfos disagrees. Yeah.
Well, we know that Tosfos disagrees. Yeah. That's correct. Tosfos, if you look in the only Tosfos on the Amud Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Pirush Rebbe Shesh Sachron Stama V'Amar Lahem Achar Shehizkir. Tosfos adds in a bunch of words. Azarchas Apolim Stam V'Amar Lahem Achar Kach Lahashim Larv. And in fact, many Rishonim make the statement. You can see it most notably, though, in Tosfos over here, as well as in the Tur. The Tur, you know, really rewrites the Gemara. I didn't have the language of the Tur open up here. I thought maybe people would have that in front of them. But yes, that seems to be, these are the two main ways that you could read the Gemara. I mean, personally, if you would have asked me, I think without seeing Tosfos, and I think that's why Tosfos had to make this comment, you would think that the simplest way to read the Mishnah would be talking about where there was such a stipulation, and nevertheless, in a place where the Minhag was not to be Mashkim and Ma'ariv, you have no ability to compel them to do so. However, the svar of that, as Tosfos points out, is very weak, because if you're making a t'nai, presumably the t'nai should work. So, in addition to this, the Me'iri, and that's what I'm going to pull up on my screen now, actually tries to bring a diuk to support Tosfos. Where is the Me'iri over here? Beis Avachira. Very good. Says the Me'iri, Umikal makom, im hisna imahem kain, if in fact there was a t'nai that they should be mashkim and ma'ariv, ein safek shetna o kayam. He says there is no question that that's absolutely the case that it's nai is kayam. He follows Tosfos exactly. Lo anru vihisna imahem ela v'amar lahem. The Meiri says you can even be medayik that from the language of the Mishnah. It doesn't say asar chazabolim vihisna imahem lahashkim la'ariv. That would have sounded like it was part of the original t'nai. But the fact that it only says v'amar means afterward, says the Meiri. The truth is, you know, there are those who have said this, and there are those who would disagree with this. I think one important point to see, which I may have pointed out yesterday to some of you, is the Toras Chaim. The Toras Chaim is a very interesting parish altogether. But over here, he actually brings a raya from a source that we wouldn't really have expected him to bring from. And he says, "V'amar lahem l'hashkim u'laharav." What does that mean? Achar shehischiran kvar. This was after they already came to their agreement on the hiring. Amar lahem l'hashkim u'laharav. He said to them to be mashkim marav kimosha kasvua Tosfos, as Tosfos say. Afal gav. And then he brings a very interesting source. For those of you who did learn the big sugya of what does it mean, b'chnisaso and b'itziaso and mishalo and mishal balabayis, you'll have noticed that Tosfos brought a medrash. And he says, if you look in that medrash, the medrash actually says, in quoting this Mishnah, afagav der medrash rabba shevi at Tosfos l'kaman gar sinan upasak imahem lahashkum l'hariv. When they have our Mishnah, they say, hasochers apolim upasak lahem lahashkum l'hariv. It doesn't say v'amar lahem. He says, nevertheless, tzarach lomar lishna de pasak lav, dafka nakar ela klomar sheomer lahem kach. It means upasak afterwards also. So I think this is, in one way, something you can go back to the Meiri with and say, hey, what do you think of this? I don't think at the end of the day, Tosfos was really coming to make a pure diuk from the Mishnah. I think Tosfos was saying, as far as we're going to explore this, as far as of why should that be the case. So let's take a look. Through the Bavli, what proofs can we come up with to say that Tosfos is actually correct based on the Gemara? Anybody have any suggestions? Again, I'm assuming some of you heard this from me before, some of you didn't hear this from me, but is there any proof from the Bavli itself, Misfara, that Tosfos is correct when Tosfos says, im histame ikara hakala fitna'o, even against the Minhag?
doesn't this have to do with the two answers that we see as to why the svara is correct? Meaning the first one was that it's a place where there's no establishment hug.
Oh, by Reish Lakish?
Yeah, by Reish Lakish.
Yeah, so what's the raya from there?
Because you could have just said they made no such stipulation.
I'm sorry, I'm not 100% clear. Where do you have a raya from the case of Reish Lakish that it has to be that if you were masne at the beginning against the minhag, your tnai works?
Because he says kipol d'oraita.
Ah, so one raya, that's an excellent raya.
Means that you can be mane against the minhag.
Very good. So Rabbeinu Netanel points us to Pekim Lamed Beis. And if you look, we had Ibayis Ema de Amar Lehu, if the Poel said to the Balabayis, de agrisu li kipol d'oraita, it sounds like we're going to follow the din d'oraita. That would seem to be pretty clear. The minhag may not be in accordance with the d'oraita. In fact, it's not. And therefore, even though the Poel is masne against it, we say, you know what, we're going to follow your tie, and we're not going to follow your minhag. That is a pretty good raya. Any reason why we could be doche that raya? Possible, Dahi. I'm not sure I would. I think that's a very strong raya. But anyway, someone could be doche that?
Maybe if there's no established minhag, so we do admit that you go to the... to d'oraita, right? That's the default position.
No, but that's maybe the first answer. That doesn't seem to be the second answer, the Gemara. The second answer seems to be even if there is an established minhag. But that could be one possible d'chia. I hear what you're saying. If you're going to understand that the bais aim of the Gemara is an additional answer, not to the first question of Alechsi Hechi Nihigi, but an answer to the question of the Ir Chadasha, meaning maybe in an Ir Chadasha will allow you to be make a t'nai against it. Why? Because the minhag is not so established. But if it was really a real city, then you would say, no way, maybe you couldn't do that. I hear that's one way to read the Gemara. Excellent. How else could you be?
Then with the toughest lu agrahu, that sounds like it's the past tense that they already, I gave you more money. With the assumption that you would stay later. You'd say, no, you gave us more money with the assumption that we would do a better job.
Okay, so what is it? Why is that a raya?
It could sound like it was the arrangement was already made. At least I knew before that they were going to be paid more.
So you're saying that's a raya that the Mishnah is talking about where they made an initial agreement?
At least to be paid more. But right, the details were omitted.
Okay. Right. I mean, the fact is, this the tafalu ahagrayu may be coming when they're settling at the end of the day. It might be that originally the stipulated one thing, then they added a stipulation like we see in the next case in the Mishnah. The stipulation was added before they started working, and then I'm not sure you have a raya, but it's an interesting diuk.
They knew that they were going to be paid more. I mean,
that's correct.
Right. Not just at the end of the day.
Right. And they're saying the reason why you said you were going to pay us more is because of whatever reason. I don't know if that gives a proof that they necessarily were told it explicitly at the beginning of the day. I'm not sure that's the case. I think also you could be doche the other proof, the proof that Reb Netanel brought, by saying that maybe we allow you to stipulate against minhag to follow the din Torah, but who says we'd allow you to stipulate against minhag to follow stam, whatever you'd like. I'm not certain. I wouldn't put a lot of money down on that one, but I don't think it's an absolute raya that was brought from the second. So I think the case of the Tafilu Agrayu is actually a bigger raya to Tosfos, but not in the way that we mentioned just now, in the fact that the Gemara had a question of Pshita. How do we explain the Gemara's question of Pshita? We said, why would you assume that they have to follow that? So the Gemara is saying, oh, you know why you'd assume that the workers have to follow it? Because they're getting paid extra. Well, if the case was where they literally made a t'nai, you are going to stay longer and I'm going to pay you extra, the Gemara doesn't need to ask Pshita anymore, if that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Gemara is clearly not understanding it in that way, I think, as we see from these two cases. And nevertheless, it's saying, even if you weren't Masne, but you did add money, that's the case the Gemara is talking about. That, Adkan, I think, is the Bavli. Let's take a look, though, briefly at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, again, is up on my screen. I'm going to have to minimize your window so it doesn't conflict with Bar Ilan over here, so I can actually read the Yerushalmi, too. Okay. Well, we'll read through little bits of the Yerushalmi. Lots of interesting stuff. The Yerushalmi has the mission, of course. Tzarchus Apol Limvar Melam Hashkum Laharev. No girsa changes that we need to worry about. Makosh Nagush Lahashkum Laharev. Any Yachal Kofan. As we saw, again, we're not going to go through the rest of the story now with the halachos of giving mazam. Amar of Hoshia. Zakti Gemara. Amar of Hoshia. Zos Omeres. This Mishnah teaches. Haminag Mivatel Es Ahalacha. That Minag can be Mivatel Es Ahalacha. Now, it's hard to see exactly what does this mean, says the, if you look in the Mefarshim, Pnei Moshe, Zos Omeres, Midiktani, Eino Yachal Lakofan, says the Pnei Moshe, from the fact that it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to force them, Mashma, Afilu Omer Shehisne Imahim Al Minas Lahashkimu Lahariv, Vehim Makhishin also, Eino Yachal Lakofan, Velitfos Charan, Lefisha Ein, Aminhag Kach. Shma Minah, Aminhag Mevatal Halacha, Kedrebi Imi Lekameh. Says the Pnei Moshe, and the Pnei Moshe says a case that's slightly different than the one that I proposed to you. You could read this line, though, and we're going to get to the Pnei Moshe, and we're going to see a long piece in Mara Panim at some point during this Chabura, if we have any time to do so, that you could read the Mishnah on a very simple level. If you read the Mishnah, which we argued was one way of reading it kepshuto, that Hasarchas Apol and Varlam Lashkim Ulaharev is, that they made an agreement that they are going to be Mashkim and Mariv. And then the Poalim come back and they say, you know what, we're not interested. You could say, what about the fact that they made an agreement? Tough luck. And then we could move on to the next halacha. Now, the Pnei Moshe, as we saw, tied this comment of the Gemara of Minag Mevatos Halacha to the next statement. And he says there was actually a machlokes here between the employer and the employee as to what happened. The employer says, we actually agreed to be Mashkim and Mariv, and the employees say, no, we didn't. Normally, what would be the halacha in that case? Would the employer have to pay the employee? We would say, no, Hamotzi Michaveru Alef Araya. They would have to prove that the agreement was to do a better work and not to be Mashkim and Mariv. And therefore, the Pei Moshe, as he does in Mara upon him as well, ties it to the next line, Amar Vimi, Kol Hamotzi Michaveru Alef Lahavi Raya Chutz Mizo. All cases in Chas, we say, except for here. Here, they don't need to bring a raya. And even if they have some sort of a reasonable way to answer the claim, and meaning if the minhag is on their side, so again, the Bala bias is claiming, I said I was going to pay you extra. I said I was going to pay you $5 or $6 an hour instead of $4 to stay late. And they're saying, what are you talking about? You told us you're going to pay us $4 or $5 or $6. Again, extra upon whatever you would normally pay so that we do a better job. And look, no one stays late. Therefore, this is almost like a type of raya in their favor, and we don't apply the halacha of hamotzi mechaveru alef araya. Says Ibn Moshe, that's what Rav Hoshia means as well. Zos omeres haminag mivatel es ha-halacha. Okay?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Can you say, though, does this apply even when the Poalim admit that the agreement was, you know, $6 for extra hours, but they say, we don't want to do that. We want to work the regular day length. Meaning they're admitting that the T'nai existed, but they don't want to follow it anymore. Or is it
so
only...
This is exactly the machlokas of how you'd read the Yerushalmi. If you're reading Rav Hoshia as distinct from Rav Imi, that Minag Mevatel Halacha is absolute, it would seem even if they admit, they say, we know the halacha is we should have to work for you for the whole day, but guess what? Minag mevatel es halacha. And Rav Imi is disagreeing then with Rav Hoshia, and he's saying, stam, I don't agree that minag mevatel es halacha. It's only when it's a case of a motzi mechaver olav haraya that we would bring this, but if everybody agrees, it's true they can't back out. Masha Enkin, if you're reading it like the Pnei Moshe, which I think is a very strong read, and as we're going to see, it's not really the Pnei Moshe's read. It actually comes from a lot earlier than the Pnei Moshe. Then they're both saying the same thing. And Minag Mevatel Halacha is limited to a case of Hamotzi Mechaveru Alef Araya. The halacha that we're uprooting is Hamotzi Mechaveru Alef Araya. Now,
according to Rav Imi, that it's not absolute. So we were discussing it Seder. On what basis does he say Hamotzi Mechaveru Alef Araya? Is it the Minag is a certain Raya? Is that there's an Umdana that this is what they agreed upon?
So I mentioned that. I think that's a fair svara to say that the minag serves as some sort of raya. You could also say that, again, if the purpose of minag is almost defending workers' rights, the same type of svara applies to not making them hamotzi mechaveru alef araya when there is a minag. Meaning, you may say it wouldn't qualify as a raya. Normally, what's a raya in halacha?
You bring edim, you bring evidence.
Yeah. You bring evidence or edim, usually. So I don't know that we'd say it actually qualifies as a raya, but if the whole point that we're following minhag is to defend and to save the workers from unfair treatment, if that's in fact the case, then so too, we will not apply the rule of hamotzei mechaver al haraya when it comes to disputes between an employer and employee, provided that the minhag is saying, no, you can't compel an employee to do such and such work. Again, it's possible to say that it would be considered a raya, but I'd rather say that the whole rule of hamotzei mechaver al haraya just doesn't apply here, because minhag is what Chazal set up to be koveya any disputes in this case in order to protect the worker. And really, truthfully, you could end up protecting the balabayas. That's the truth. It could go the other way as well. But minhag is the koveya when it comes to disputes. And I think that really both of these views are very strongly within the second camp that we brought, that minhag is not simply just like something to fill in the blanks. Minhag is like an overriding factor. Like you have normally, you know, in a regular case, we'd say that you absolutely, the worker loses out. And here, minhag is actually overriding that, whether it's overriding just hamotzei mechaver al haraya, whether it's overriding even some sort of stipulation, that's a good question, but that's where we're at with this Yerushalmi. The truth is, I want you to take a look at the Rif and the Rush. Those I didn't put up on my screen because I'm assuming people have Gemaras in front of them. But let's take a look briefly at the Rif first. Okay, if you look at the Rif on our Gemara, very interesting Rif. Skips out a whole bunch of stuff. And then actually we'll get back to the Yerushalmi in a short moment. Says the Rif, you're opening up to the beginning of HaSocher HaSapolim. Okay, it's on Kuf Mem in the Oz Bahadur versions that probably most of us have. Quotes the Mishnah. Then he quotes the Gemara. He skips to Pei Zayin. He skips all of the stuff that we had in our Gemara. So none of that. He doesn't bring any of that. He doesn't bring Reish Lakish. He doesn't bring the Gemara to Tafilu HaAgrayu to establish the Minhag that way. He brings one Gemara later on. He brings one Machlokes Tanayim later on, which we're not going to get into today. Then he says, Yerushalmi. Amar Rabbi Hoshia, Zosa Meras HaMenag Mavatal Halacha, period, end of story. Okay, just the one line of the Yerushalmi. Does he bring Ravimi? No. What does he mean? We don't know. If you're going to read, like, again, the Pnei Moshe, so fine. He's essentially saying the same thing as Ravimi in different words. That's okay. Take a look, however, at the Rush. The Rush Kayadu is based off the Rif. Again, some people even went so far as to call it a Pirush on the Rif. I don't know if I would do that. But the Rush often will just quote the Rif as his base, as his Gemara, so to say. And he'll add on something the Rif missed. He'll comment on it, whatever the case is. Take a look at the Rush here. Okay? First of all, the Rush does bring the Gemara of Ditafi, unlike the Rif. Okay, if you're looking at the Rush, it's, again, Perek Zayin, Simon Aleph. It's on page Ayin Ches in the Oz Bahadur. So number one, he brings the Gemara, which the Rif skipped, the first Gemara. Then he brings the second Gemara, which the Rif skipped, right? The two Gemaras that we read this morning. Then he gets on to HaKol Kamin HaGudin, HaKol Asu Yemai. He quotes that later Gemara, which the Rif quoted. And then he quotes Yerushalmi. Amar Rav Oshia. And then anybody want to read further in the Rif, the next few words, in the Rush, sorry, the next few words? Instead of saying, Amar Rav Hoshia, Zos Ameres Menu Mavatal Halacha, he changes the whole sentence.
Amar Rav Hoshia, Amar Rav Elazar, Bekol Makom Amotzim Mechavar Olav Araya, Chutz Mizo. Zot Omeret, Minag Mavatal Halacha.
What's the Rush saying?
He's combining the two.
He's combining the two Shitos. So where the Rif skipped this out, the Rush adds in even to the Shita of Rav Oshia. And I don't know if this was a gear that he had in the Yerushalmi. I mean, it seems very strange the way he's putting it in, but Tachlis, what he does is he says, the fact that in all places we'll say Amotzi Mechaver Al Varaya except for this, that teaches Minag Mevatal Halacha. That's what the Pnei Moshe is basing himself on. But we can see that the Rush has an entirely different approach, right? The Rush not only quotes these two Gemaras that we have, unlike the Rif, but he also changes this minhag mevatel halacha. Let's go back to the Yerushalmi for a moment. And then we're going to get back to our analysis of the Rif and the Rush. Says the Yerushalmi, let's continue. The Yerushalmi then has this long thing over here. B'nei teveri lo mashkim lo marivim, b'nei beis mon. What do you do when one goes from one place to the other place? And this is brought actually by a lot of the the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch and on the tour, and they bring this stuff. Okay, let's take a look over here. Where was I going to go next? Now, Rav Oshia, as we said. Ah, everybody see. Okay. Makom She'ein Minhag. Everybody see that? There's a place where there's no Minhag. Yehuda ben Boni, Rabbi Ami, Rav Yehuda. Okay, that's somebody says some stuff. T'nai Bezdin who? If there's no Minhag, it's a T'nai Bezdin She'tehei Hashkama Shal Poalin V'harava Shal Bala Bayis. It's a T'nai Bezdin. Bezdin have set up that the Hashkama is Shal Poalin V'harava Shal Bala Bayis. Umay Taima says the Gemara, Tashes Chok Trech Bihi Laila, Hakfirim Shal Gemara Tarif. It quotes you all those Pesachim that we quoted in the Bavli. This is an exact parallel to the Gemara that we saw in the name of Reish Lakish. What's missing from the Yerushalmi's version? Where does the Yerushalmi say that this the Oraisa Dikadin is relevant?
Where there is no Minhag.
Where there's no Minhag. Does it make any mention of if you made a T'nai? No. There's no mention. There's no Ibayis Ema if you are Masna that you wanted to follow Din Torah. There's no such thing. And it's interesting also that it calls this, what is the source of this? It doesn't really call it Din D'Oraisa like we have in the Bavli. It calls it a T'nai Bezdin. That Bezdin established this. This could be very interesting if we believe that Bezdin also established that you follow the Minhag, and when there's no Minhag, Bezdin also established Shete Ashkama Shal Polin Varava Shal Balabayas, whatever that means. So I think it's pretty fair to say that the Yerushalmi certainly falls on the second side of the Chakira that we posed to begin with, that Minhag is some sort of overriding factor. The only question is how overriding it is. I would argue that Rav Hoshea holds in the Yerushalmi that Minhag Mevatel Halacha is absolute. And therefore, even if you would have a T'nai, even if you would be Masneh, like in the Mishnah, according to the Yerushalmi, against the Minhag would still say, too bad, you can't force the Polim. I mean, if the Polim agree to do it at the end of the day, like no one, we're not going to say they're over an Avera for going against the Minhag. If anything, I guess that's how new Minhagim are going to be made. But if they don't want to, they have every right to say, Minhag Mevatel Halacha, I know we agreed on this, but we're not doing it because the Minhag says so. I think that's a very fair read of the Yerushalmi. If that's the case...
So they have the right to back out before doing it, basically.
So I would say there's a chiluk, but it's not backing out. It's they're saying we still want to maintain the deal altogether. It's not backing up before doing it. Meaning, for example, let's say the Balabaya says he wants him to be mashkin, to come early. They have every right to show up at 9 a.m. instead of at 8 a.m. when the Balabayas wanted them to come and say, we're here for our day of work. And the Balabaya says, what do you mean? I thought we agreed that you were going to get... You know, and you were going to get here at 8. And they say, that's nice. We're getting here at 9. You have to still hire us. It's not a Chazara type issue. I do think that nowadays, if you're paid by hourly wage, it would be more of a Chazara type issue. And for that, you'd have to go back to the last parak in terms of figuring it out. Now, again, what would you do in terms of the money? It seems that you'd even have to pay them the full wages in this case. But we're going to get to that a little bit later. Now, if we in fact can assume, which again, I don't think is a far-fetched assumption, this is what the Yerushalmi holds, that Minhag is more of a koveya than just something to fill in when we're unsure. I think you can say that was pshat in the Rif. And that's why the Rif didn't quote any of these two Gemaras that we have in the Bavli that the Rosh quoted. Why? Because he says they're not lehelsasa. The Tafilu Ha'agrayu is simply unnecessary because even if you made a T'nai, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. There's no pshita on the Mishnah. Number two, Reish Lakish is unnecessary because at the very least, the second answer... is also not relevant. So, on the other hand, the Rosh, because of the way he understood the Yerushalmi, because of the way he understood that first line of Ravi Imi and Rav Hoshea, so he's willing to say, we do Paskin like those Gemaras, and if you make a T'nai against it, of course it's going to work. Therefore, he has to bring in the two Gemaras in the Bavli. I think what this can help us understand, though, is the Shita of the Rambam. If you go to the Rambam, who, again, Kiyadua, number one, is well-known for sometimes following the Yerushalmi against the Bavli, but even more well-known for basing himself almost entirely on the Rif. Take a look at the Lashon HaRambam over here. The Rambam simply brings a line from our Mishnah. So, Chizah Polim, Barolim, Lashkul, Harav, Makshanagu, Shol, Hashkul, Shol, Harav, Ine, Ach, Lekofan, Makshanagu, Lazum, Yazun, Lesavik, Rorosu, so Batumar, Megiotu, Ben, Lepolim, Yosafik, Hakol, Kiminag, Hamedina. Rambam brings nothing of the details of the Tafilu Ha'agrayu. Rambam brings nothing of Reish Lakish and Paul with Nisasa Mishalo with Tiyashu Mishal Balabayas. Many people have dealt with these questions before, I would note. What I thought might be an important call coming in wasn't that important. So the Rif excludes them. The Rambam also excludes them in line with what the Rif does, perhaps because he holds they're not relevant. Other people have suggested, oh, they're not common enough. Other various different answers. You can see the Lecha Mishnah. You can see the Beis Yosef discusses it as well as to why the Rambam skipped out some of the details of the Gemara. But nevertheless, he did. Then he does quote the Gemara which the Rif did bring, and that's the next Talacha. That's the Rambam. He doesn't quote anything about the Yerushalmi. He doesn't say the words Minag Mevatel Halacha. He does say the Wakol Kaminag Medina, and you could assume that's the case. I think it's also very important to note that I think you can be medayik from the Lashna Rambam that he understood the Mishnah to be talking about a case of Tanai. How do I know that? Because if you compare the language of the Rambam in Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, you find that they're exactly the same. And Kuli Al-Mamodu, by the case of Asor Chazapol Omer Lokech and Mishnayim Ibnei Ha'ir, that's where you're actually going out and hiring him, and you're saying at the time, it's not that you first hire him for a different amount, and then afterwards you tell him to be Kechad Mishnayim Ibnei Ha'ir, but rather it's at the time that you're hiring him, you're telling him Kechad Mishnayim Ibnei Ha'ir. So too, if the Rambam is willing to use the same Lashon, without specifying anything further, it does seem that that's the case. And again, when you compare to other cases, you're going to see such language. The truth is, I'm just going to open up the tour for you now so you can compare to the tour as an example of someone who quotes the Gemara but adds in what he feels is Tosfos Pshat. Hasar chazapolim bistam. B'makom sheyesh minag yedua, eino yachal l'shanos aleim miminag medina l'chol davar, beilin amazonos, etc. However, and then he goes on, and then he says it. Yasuk via minag again. Pchinin abalach yasuk via minag nagu shalol lahashkimu laharav and yachal kofal lahashkimu laharav filush shemosuk lemos charam. That's all in the tour. That's not in the Rambam though. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he runs into a bit of a wall here. On the one hand, Shulchan Aruch, especially as we've seen this year, especially in these Hilchos of Skiras Polim, and I would assume in Choshen Mishpat in general, almost always parrots the Rambam word for word. The problem is, Shulchan Aruch accepts from the Tur and from Tosfos and from everybody else this halacha. So look what the Shulchan Aruch does actually over here. This is all, as we saw, the Lashon HaRambam. And then he adds in some words. Afilu Osef al Scharan, not in the Rambam. Kev Manchelo Hisnakein Bishash Scharan, not in the Rambam. Now, does he feel that's Pshat in the Rambam? Quite possibly. Nevertheless, even he couldn't get away with just quoting the Lashon HaRambam because he said you need to say Afil Hosef Al Scharan. I think that's a fair enough argument that you've heard from me so far between the Rif and the Rambam that they actually held, like again, the Sheet of the Yerushalmi, that even had you been Masnekein B'Shash Escharan, you would still not be able to force them. That's why the Yerushalmi doesn't need to say anything about Hosef or Tafilahu. And I think this is good enough almost for now.
However, so even though Shulchan Aruch normally would follow Rif and Rambam, he's actually following the Rosh in this case.
Yes. Again, I'm not saying that
he reads the Rambam differently.
He does read the Rambam differently, 100%. What's my raya? If you look at the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, Dr. Kesef Mishnah, Halacha Aleph, Kasvu HaTosfos, Da'ayinu B'Shezachman, Stamav Amar Lahem. He does believe that the Rambam holds this way. I'm just saying, I think you can make a strong argument that the Rambam doesn't hold that way. And my raya to say that is that even Shulchan Aruch doesn't feel comfortable just quoting the Lashon HaRambam. But yes, in Echanami, the Kesef Mishnah, which is Beis Yosef, writes on the Rambam, Kasvu HaTosfos, and he seems to be willing to paskin that way. Now, I'm not here to talk about Klalim in the Shulchan Aruch, how does he paskin, but that I think is something sort of that sums up this whole first part. Now, let's go back to the Daf al Daf. Meaning, we've basically said that this machlokas, which we brought originally from Achronim, could be a machlokas between the Bavli and the Shalmi, and subsequently between the Rambam and Rif on one side, and the Rosh Tosfos, and again, very, very many other Rishonim on the other side. It's not 100% mukhrach. And again, even the Pnei Moshe wanted to read the Yerushalmi like the Rosh. Nevertheless, if you look in the Mar HaPanim, which I promised you we'd get to, you can see that he realizes this is a very legitimate way to read the Rambam and to read the Yerushalmi, Look at what he says here. I mean, just in the middle of his piece on this, in the Marapanim, and Marapanim and the Pnei Moshe are the same person. The Marapanim is more Tosfos-like, and the Pnei Moshe is a little bit more Rashi-like. Tosfos-like, not in the sense of Tosfos is what Tosfos has to say or what Rashi has to say, but just in the style of it. Look what he writes over here. And he tries to answer all these things, right? Okay. Varezeha perish, the perish that we brought from him, again, the Rush's perish in the Yerushalmi, that it's only, that the Chiddush is only about Hamotzi Mechaver El Varaya, not if they made it Tanai. Ola Aliba Dedina. And he says, this actually works out with what we pass on Halacha. Demasha Kaspu, Atosvos Beshem Rebish, Sachron Samov, who's to make our Kalifitin. Oh, Uchid Pasak, Atur Vashul Hanach, Mosim Shin Lamed Aleph. Look what he writes. Vize Vadai Muskamu. So we see, he says that everybody agrees with this. The im sheharam bamzal sasam devarav kan. And if you're going to tell me, what about the Rambam, who didn't say anything? Samach ala klal shekatzav well beperek beis alach ates kol tanai shebe mamon kayam. Avalim yeshak chasha b'inyan atanai dekamalan ba'alma demot v'yachav el raya. V'hach ala balabayis lahavi raya k'dilman mehacha. V'im shelo bi'aru ha'poskim lahedya b'zeh mevorhu. Del ofen kaze amru kan gamkein. So he raises the fact that the Rambam doesn't say anything about any of this, doesn't say anything, and he says, the Rambam certainly agrees, it's because he wrote elsewhere that called Tanai Sheba Mamon Kayam, and this is simply a case of Tanai Sheba Mamon, therefore we're going to follow it. What about if there's a machlokes? Shouldn't the Rambam rely on elsewhere where he says, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya? And he doesn't say anything about that here. Kasha, he doesn't give an answer to that question. And I think he realizes that this is a very, you know, easy way to read the Rambam, and I'm not convinced by his argument against it, saying that the Rambam is relying on elsewhere, because if he's really relying on elsewhere, he should also have to state explicitly that we don't follow Motzei Mechaver Olav Araya here, and I don't, you know, it's hard for me to accept that. If you're saying the Rambam goes like the Bavli, though, then the Bavli doesn't even accept a Motzei Mechaver Olav Araya. The Bavli says it only overrides a Tafilu Ha'agrayu. The Rambam doesn't say that either. So, I mean, it's very hard to know exactly what the Rambam means, but I think that you can make an argument against the Marapanim. Now, that should wrap up part one. That wraps up our machlokas the way that we laid it out. I think the truth is that within the Etzem Svaros, as to whether or not Minag is some sort of, again, what I'm calling a koveya of halacha, and a koveya of terms, rather than just simply something that we rely on when we've got nothing else, when we have no other knowledge, I think that you can say that even if we're going to say Chazal said that Minag was some sort of koveya, that it was something absolute, that it actually has power in terms of the discussion between employer and employee, you can agree, and I'm going to point you to the end of the Daf al Adaf, who actually says this outright. And he says, Yesh ladun im tiknu gam be'ofen shehisnu lehed yashalo kaminag. Even if you are going to say the Chachamim were misakein, that the halacha follows the minhag when it comes to schiras polim, you could say they could have said as part of their takana that this doesn't apply when there was an explicit tnai otherwise. Meaning, putting aside what we said earlier, within the Rush, within Tosfos, within all of the mainstream of Farshim and Tur and Shulchan Aruch, again, if we're in fact assuming that they're different from the Rambam and the Rif, which I am, but not necessarily are others, even within them, we can still have the same chakira. Is minhag simply something to fill in the blanks? Or is minhag something that is koveya to whatever extent? And that, I think, revolves around, to a great degree, what we saw in the Gemara. I'm going to read the Gemara again. The Gemara at the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara. Pshita, of course you can't be kofe them. Lo tzricha de tafalu agrayu. It's where you added money. It's where the person increased the wages. One might have thought the Balabayas has the taina of, the reason why I added is so you would come early and stay late. Kamash malan, it comes to teach us that what? The amrule hay de tafas lan adaita de avdinan lecha avidita shapirta. What does that line mean? Kamash malan de amrule hay de tafas lan adaita de avdinan lach avidita shapirta. Anybody?
We thought the extra money was for, because we're such great workers. You heard that we do a really good job. So you okay. Wanted to get us and paid us more.
Okay. Do they have to actually say this?
Um,
Is this a taina we're making on their behalf? Are we just saying if they make this claim, we'll believe them?
I would lean more towards if they make this claim, we believe them. Meaning okay. It doesn't have to be explicitly stated.
And what if they did a crummy job? What then?
Right, we saw this somewhere. I don't remember.
You did see it somewhere. You saw it in the Gemara earlier in last parak.
Yes, that's true there too. I'm saying in a Mefarish on this Gemara. Yeah. But I guess that would be how you understand what this taina is, right? Is this a taina that's saying we make this claim for them, or do they actually have to explicitly say it?
Okay. And let's say, even if we're going to say we do make this claim for them, let's say they just didn't do a good job.
I think the taina still works because when a pole is doing work, even if he ends up messing up a bit, it doesn't deduct from his wages.
Okay, but here it was especially extra money beyond what Paul would normally get.
So then that should be a t'nai then. If you want them to return the money, it should be t'nai. You know, I will give you this bonus if it's a better than.
But that's what they're saying happened. You're right. But let's look at a couple of mefarshim. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Is the case where there's Hakasha between them. Not Hakasha about where the deal was made, but Hakasha is to the reasons. And
okay, so I'm saying, even according to their reason, though, if they did a bad job, you would have to agree they shouldn't get paid. For sure, according to the Balabais' reason, they shouldn't get paid. They're not being Maftim and Mashkech. But even according to their reason. Nevertheless, take a look at the Meiri in our Sugya. Dr. Meiri. Let's read. V'yisbar b'gemara. Everybody see it over here? She'af al pi shehirba bischaran yoster mischar shar po'alim. Ve'omer lahem shal das. This is probably say diyashkimu. Diyashkimu v'yarivu osif bischaram. And that's what he claims. Ho'el uvistam sachram. Af heim omrim lo. Lo kibalnu hatosefes el aldas shenidaktik bimalachdenu ad shetehei malach hayafeh. Umikol makom, says the Meiri, im lo astu malach tam yafeh mishar po'alim, minaka lehem bitosefto. Meiri says, a taina is a taina. If they didn't actually do a good job, take it away. V'yesh cholkin bazu. Shemikol makom kvar astu ba kichol she'efsher lahem. Other people disagree and say they already did what they could. What kind of taina is that? So while we don't have much of an explicit discussion of this in the Rishonim, I mean, I didn't want to go through it too much, where people might have seen this is in the Taz. Look at the Taz here. V'hadet tafilu b'scharam d'navidu lavid tashapirta hachi yisibig mara peraka polim kutzer gemara v'kashali, says the Taz. V'nechzi avidetayu. Why doesn't anybody mention we should go and inspect their work? Tichiyai gavna parach perecha omnin. He says, even in the Gemara there it asks it. Why doesn't the Gemara ask it by us? Umeshani di afshar lamechsi upasak rabbeinu v'simishin lamed beiz medar amur chimachan shavadalida and nechsi avitayu. And he goes through it. So what's his answer? V'yish lomar. Tehacha shebalabais be'atzmo amar sheyosif lahem. Aldash jizim alachala kivnu sheyasu lo atzad hayosir tov sheymicholem. He says, when the Balabais explicitly says, I want you to do a better job, then they really got to do a good job. But however, he says, in this case, if he didn't say it, but they were just assuming that, he means don't be lazy. So even if they didn't do a really good job, so long as they weren't lazy, they can get it in our case. That's the answer that he gives. I think, though, that this could be really tied into how we understand it. The question is this really a taina that we're saying, like, they're actually making a counterclaim to what he's saying? If we are, then I think that what the Meiri is saying is correct. The Meiri's first shot is to say, if we're viewing this as a taina, it absolutely depends. If they did a good job, they get the money. If they didn't do a good job, they don't get the money. But if what they're really saying is that the minhag is koveya, and this is just some excuse that we're spinning out on their behalf, it makes a lot more sense to not be medaktik in line with the Taz, in line with the second sheet that the Meiri brought, because it's not really that, like, they're saying, oh, we really legitimately thought you wanted to give us more money to do a good job. They're saying it doesn't really matter. The fact is the minhag is no one comes. You wanted to tell us to do more money, so we'll come up with some excuse why you should give us more money. Because we weren't lazy. Because we didn't, litter on your property. But that's not the point if minhag is a koveya. And it could be that that is exactly the machlokas rishonim that we have over here as well, on a lesser degree. Meaning both parties here agree that if it comes to a tnai that was explicit, we're not going to say the minhag overrides the tnai. But when it comes to something of tafilua agraihu, and you know that was the case there, again, what do we need? Do we need a strong taina that they could legitimately say, and we're going to say that that strong taina is what's taking the money from the balabayas? Or are we saying that no, really it's the minhag that they're telling the balabayas, tough luck, you can't do anything against the minhag for us, and here's some spew excuse as to why we get our money even without being makdim and mash. Mashkich. Yes. Okay. That's another way to tie this machlokas. And again, even if you're putting aside the stipulation part and you're saying Chazal weren't misakin over there, that minhag overrides an actual stipulation, still you could say here that minhag overrides this. I think that same answer can actually be a machlokas that we see in the Ktsos. The Ktsos brings the Trumas Adeshin. Did any of you see this? Ritorchiner, did you see the machlokas ktsos and trumas adeshin or not?
No, I saw it referenced and it's on my list of things that I want to look at, but no, I haven't actually opened the ktsos yet.
Okay, fine. So in the ktsos, just briefly, there's a big machlokas about a case which is essentially the case of tafilua agrayu. I'll read you out the ktsos. I have it up. We have it up over here in our last few minutes over here, our last 8 minutes or so. Zak the ktsos. Okay, Ktsos quotes the Trumas Adeshin. I'll read you the case and then I'll tell you what everybody says. Okay, what's the Trumas Adeshin? Shin Chaf Gimel. Reuven Sachar Shemon Avur Asara Zehuvim Sheyachol Medina Plonis El Levi Umasalok Savim etc. So Reuven hires Shimon for $10 to go and deliver some letters to Levi. V'yachzor L'Soch Gimel Shavuos, and he should come back in 3 weeks. V'kodem Sheyatzah Shimon L'Darko Halach Reuven Gamkin L'Tzad Acher. And Reuven actually left town before Shimon went on this journey to deliver Reuven's letters for 10 zehuvim. He says to a couple of his friends, Reuven sachrani bekach bekach. Reuven hired me for $10. Uvidati, and I, my understanding is that he would give me the cost of travel as well. And that the $10 is in addition to the cost of travels. So now he comes back to Reuven. He says, I want not only my $10, but the cost of the journey. Hey, Reuven, al hotzaos lo haya da'ati. I didn't have any intention of paying you the cost of the journey. Reuven says, hey, the reason why I gave you 10 zehuvim is because... Why'd I give you 10 zehuvim?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Therefore, I was assuming I wouldn't have to pay you. V'shimon toin no, mina kalasochem kiay gavna, sheyitnu la'olam hotzaos levad haskirus, kacha ye'aseh li gamkein. And Shimon says, what do you mean? The minhag is everybody gets the cost of the journey. Hadinim mi, they asked the Trumas Adeshin. And you know what the Trumas Adeshin's answer is? If I were to ask you, what case is this comparable to? What would you answer?
Well, the exact case of the Gemara.
It's literally the exact case of the Gemara. And what's halacha in the Gemara? Who's right?
The Poel.
The Poel, the Minhag. You follow the Minhag. Afal pi d'tafilu agrayu. Says the Trumas Adeshin, tshuva yeirai da'adinim Reuven. Me'oso tamshu toin da'adamim modim shesachro al hotzaos shelo. So that, the halacha's like, Reuven, why? Because he gave him extra money. And he says, Shimon Modelo Shane Roy Lassis Hargot Kokach Bishlichus Kazos. And he goes on, Frek the Ktos, jumping down to the next paragraph. Utmi Alan Milsa, the Behenya Amarish Paragapolim Makush Nagusul Hashmul Harv, Dafilu, host of us, Harlo Matsi Amara Daito Hashmul Harv, below Amrina Nadami Modian. It's Mefurisha Gemara against this tshuva. What's going on? And he doesn't like it, right? And he says, Bimkain, who had in both sows, in Mina Kolasochrim, Kia Gavna, Shiitnu Lolam Otsos, Kinidon, the Trumas Hadeshin, Ain, Hadamim, Modiin, Vitzar Chion. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. But I think this fundamental approach of what minhag is the same way that you can understand this machlokes between the ktos and the trumas hadeshen. If minhag again is just something to fill in the blanks, that's the way the trumas hadeshen is holding. In the case of the Gemara, the trumas hadeshen would counter. It's a reasonable thing. People sometimes pay a little bit more lashon milharif. People sometimes pay a little bit more for the sake of only doing a better job. Therefore, the taina in the Gemara of the Amrule is a legitimate taina. Otherwise, Witaka wouldn't believe them. If all they could say was, we don't really have a good reason, we wouldn't believe them. So therefore, in the Gemara, where they have a legitimate taina, we're going to listen to them. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara, that you can't be kofeh them. Masha Inkin, if he's paying the guy triple his wages, are you kidding me? You're going to say it's for some spew reason? No! Minhag doesn't override the fact that he paid him so much more. It's 100,000% clear, says the Trumas Hadeshen, that no one in their right mind would ever give that amount, even to do a good job of delivering the letter.
Well, is that because Ashar Zuvim is so much more than the regular price?
Yes.
Or maybe, I mean, Shimon can claim, you know, I'm such a reliable guy. But you know, we go way back. You knew this job, these important letters, this was going to get delivered.
So again, that's what I think exactly is the point of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen says everybody knows that no one gets this amount of money ever to do that. Not even if they do an Avidita Shapirta, not even if it's important letters. And that's why he makes the point, which I highlighted before, Shrei Shimon Modelo Shein Roy Lassis Chargal Kokach Beshlichus Kazos. Right? And that's why, again, only in our Gemara, where it's a legitimate taina, where we're evaluating the tainos for what they are, will we say, you know what? When you have a minhag, that's good enough to support you. Masha Inkein, in a case like this, no way. No one pays 10 zehuvim for shlichus kazos. The ksos, on the other hand, is learning, no. That minhag is much more, again, as we said, of a koveya. And therefore, really what's important here, as he says, is the minhag. And as soon as you have that minhag, so come up with whatever excuse it is, even if it's not reasonable to have that amount of money. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's all about the minhag. The fact that we bring a taina, it's even just a taina on their behalf. It's not really important. The important point is that they are supported by the minhag. If they're supported by the minhag, you have no right to be able to force him to give him the money. Now, there are many other explanations of this machlokas between the ksos and trumas hadeshen. This is just one way that we could look at it. But I think that this ties in nicely to that which we said today, this general hakira, as to, again, whether minhag is something that just fills in the blanks that we haven't previously stated, or that aren't otherwise understood, again, by the fact that someone would have, you know, increased wages by a great amount, or if we're going to say that minhag is actually something which by takanas chachamim has power to establish rights between employers and employees. Right. Any questions?
I do have a question on the pshat on the Meiri. Can you just open it up again?
Yeah, let me pull that up one more second. Sure. Beis habechire. Yeah.
Right. So you brought the line umikom akom mihitna imaim ken and safek shetno kayam, right?
Yes.
As the proof to the Tosfot. But I'm wondering, maybe it's just a continuation of the opinion that's just a few words before, right? Where we're discussing whether or not they didn't do a good job, and one opinion says if they didn't do a good job, we take some of their wages. Ve'yesh cholkin bezo, and there are those who disagree. Right, because they've already done the job. Meaning, if the tnai was explicit that they get paid extra for better work, then even to the opinion that says, oh, the work is already done, they would have to return part of the money. Meaning it's not coming as a proof to Tosfot, like meaning it seems like being taken a bit out of context, but rather it's just continuing the previous taina of whether or not they have to return the money if they didn't do a good job.
So I think you could read it that way. I took it to read on the general paragraph that he was saying this. And I think he would, regardless of whether or not he was actually talking about the case of the Mishnah, I think he would say that. The proof that I think he is talking about the case of the Mishnah, though, is because it says, right, Lo amru v'hisne imayim elav amar lahem. How does that have any relevance to the case of where you made a tanai on that if you're going, that's just not relevant. That's only something which is relevant to the case of the Mishnah. So that was my proof that it's talking about the Mishnah. Otherwise, the words Lo'amru Hisnei Maim Elav Amar Lahem just don't make any sense.
It's the same thing, right? Either way.
At the end of the day, though, even if you're going to say it's going on the case of the Gemara, it ends up with the same Svara. So yes.
Okay. And the us saying that the second approach, the second understanding, right, how you can understand the Rambam and the Reef, where it's more mm-hmm. of a Takana Chachamim. How far does that go? Meaning, if I'm offering a worker the same amount of money for longer hours, obviously, according to that understanding, even if you agree to it, Minag Mevatel Halacha, that wouldn't work. But what about if we're offering more hours and more money? Right. Can the Poel, even after agreeing to it, then afterwards say, you know, I don't want to do this, Minag Mevatel Halacha, even if it's a fair deal?
Right. So I think that there's still a lot to discuss in terms of the sugya, which I mentioned in the Yerushalmi, I mentioned in the Rambam, in regards to a wide range of minhagim or unestablished minhagim. Even those opinions that would say that it's some sort of koveya, even they would say if there are minhagim that go both ways, you can work within that. If there are minhagim that is a wide range of pay, you can go within that. If something is not set as a minhag, you know, but it's not clear if it's a minhag, and you can go within that. So I think that you can still have questions about that. Yeah.
Okay. Shkoyach. That's all from me.